Hallelujah. How could I ever forget all that he has done for me? Amen. Including this morning. I've said it before and say it again. I was able to get up feeling good and got dressed, come to the house of God. I tell you, there's a lot of people would like to be in your place and in my place this morning. But I am so glad God has been good to us. Never let me forget, Lord, what you've done for me. Amen, amen. Thank you so much, singers and musicians, for following after the Spirit of the Lord. I tell you, lately, I have been obsessed with worship. True, undiluted worship. And I've made my mind up in prayer that in worship, true worship, that's where signs, wonders, and miracles take place. In an atmosphere of true worship, if we ask people to come down, by the time they get down here, they're able to tell what happened back there on the way down here. That's where it happens. And by the time they get here, it becomes a word of testimony. True worship. Amen. I want to get into that vein, that mode of true worship. And I thought about how God must feel. You may be seated. God bless you. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes when we talk about we worship, and I said, you know, when your spouse looks at you and said, why don't you come over here and sit by me and give me a hug and tell me you love me? And you look at them and you, that ain't going to get the job done. I don't want Christ to be disappointed in me when he prompts me to come love him and give him my devotion and give him my true worship. Amen. That song, I'll never forget. I thought about, you know, and people lately have been going through things in their life. And just recently, the other phone call we got the other day about the young man, Johnny, that passed away. There's a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. But I'm telling you, folks, if you're going through something, keep holding on. Keep the faith. We need to start using radical faith. We need to start using, as Grandpa say, that rambunctious faith. I'm telling you, because God has a time and a place for every situation. I thought about the man at the gate, beautiful, in the third chapter of Acts. The Bible says he was crippled from his mother's womb. And his friends laid him at the gate, beautiful, every day. Why? To beg alms. The gate, beautiful, was a gate that was, they said, made out of brass, a very beautiful thing. 30 by 60 was approximate size of that thing. It went into the temple. A lot of people would go into the temple. He would sit there and beg alms because they brought their money to the temple and to give to the poor. He went there because the begging was good. He didn't go there to be healed. And I promise you, the many times that Jesus Christ went through that gate, beautiful, in it, he saw that man. But it wasn't time yet. Later on, Peter and John walk into the temple. Alms, alms. And Peter said, look on us. And I know without a doubt in my mind, that man held out his cup, expecting a coin, if you will. Silver and gold. I don't have any. But such as I have, I will give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Depression can go. Fear can go. All your disappointments can go. But sometimes we have to abide by God's timeline. I tell you, I believe with my heart that the whole deal was a setup to magnify God and to show them what God can do beyond silver and gold. I tell you, we need that radical faith. We need to keep holding on when it seems like there's no way I can hold on any longer. Get a grip and exercise your faith. It might be a setup. It might just be something God is preparing you or me for to enhance our walk with Him. So let's hold on to God and let's exercise our faith and let's worship Him like we should. I want to see those signs, miracles, and wonders. I'm telling you, the naysayers can just about shoot down anything, but you're not going to debate a sign, a wonder, or a miracle. There's no way to explain it away. Amen, amen. All that doesn't have a thing to do with what I'm teaching this morning. I just felt that on my heart in prayer. Just hold on. So I'm telling somebody today, hold on. It might be a setup. You might have something in store for you much greater than what you ever expected. This morning, I want to teach just a little while on a subject. Respect the Christian's honor. And that's something we have lost a lot of, is respect. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Boy, that's a sermon within itself. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. God, touch us this morning, Lord. Be so kind as to anoint us with your presence and your power, Lord. Touch our hearts, God. May the word of the Lord go deep into our hearts. As the psalmist said, that I might not sin against you, O God, and let me gain from it this morning, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for standing. That verse, Romans 12 and 10, we can give honor in one of two ways. Of course, one is with ulterior motives. And we can do it so that we will be rewarded. And we can also give honor so the ones that are in power or the powerful can use their influence to our advantage. And sometimes people do that and use honor in a way so that maybe the wealthy would contribute to their cause. And we see that politically. Quite a bit. But I tell you, God's way to honor is with love. That's what the scripture just said. We honor and respect people because they are created in God's image and have a contribution to make to the kingdom of God. Simply put others first. Love one another, as the scripture has said. I'm telling you, you don't want to offend God's creation. I don't care who it is. They were made in God's image and created in God's image just like you were. And maybe, perhaps somewhere along the line, if you love them and respect them, they too will make a contribution to the kingdom of God. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, we're talking about respect, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That's simply talking about the ministry that is over us, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And I know my pastor, he and I feel the same way, and probably most of you, I don't like a lot of kudos and pats on the back. I just want to do what God wants me to do, case closed. My reward's on the other side. Amen. But I tell you, once in a while, we do need to express our appreciation for our pastors. And I really do. And I try to tell them how I've been helped by their leadership and their teaching. They need our love. And they need our support. And most of all, they need our respect. Amen. As our pastors. Verse 14. Well, verse 13, it ends, and be at peace among yourselves. If you want to make the pastor's job easier, be at peace among yourselves. Amen. Enough said. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. The word unruly in the original text means someone that is idle or lazy. Warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. The word feeble-minded in the original text means someone that is faint-hearted. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody's mental capacity. It's talking about the faint-hearted. And I tell you, we don't need to loaf around or hang around with the lazy and the idle or the unruly. We need to warn them. Step it up a little bit. But let me warn you. If you do that, you got to do it in love. Because a lot of people don't take constructive criticism too well. I tell you, it takes the Holy Ghost to do it. But we need to warn those that might be out of step or idle. And the scripture also says we don't need to be yelling at the frightened and the weak ones. We need to comfort them. The last thing they need in their faint-hearted state is somebody to yell at them and get angry with them. Amen. So we need to comfort them, support the weak, and be patient with all men. I tell you, folks, one of the keys to great ministry is sensitivity. Sensitivity to the Holy Ghost and sensitivity to the needs of others. And I tell you, and be ready to offer the appropriate word or the appropriate remedy for the situation. I tell you, you can't help until you know the problem. So it is up to us to be sensitive enough to listen to the voice of God and to know and understand, to know how to help. We have to know the problem. It's like in the doctor world. You don't apply medicine till you know where the wound's at. Sometimes the wound is not an open bleeding wound. Sometimes it's a wound in the heart, a wound in the mind, a wound in the spirit. But we have to know and be sensitive to each situation. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Ephesians chapter 6, start with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. If you're doing it to a fellow brother or sister, do it like you were doing it unto God. That's what the scripture says. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons. Master, slave, bond or free, rich, poor, big, little, it doesn't matter. He is no respect of person. But we have to exercise respect and honor to one another. Amen. The difference, talking about the children, the difference between obey and honor. Obeying is simply doing as you're told. And we expect our kids to obey and do as they're told. But by the same token, we respect and love our children. Amen. And the purpose of discipline to children, according to Scripture, is to help them grow. It's not to hurt them. It's not to just inflict physical pain, but it's to encourage them, not discourage them. Amen. And I learned a long time ago, you can't discipline out of frustration and out of anger. That's the wrong way to do it. And I'm speaking to myself also, because I would catch myself being frustrated and angry maybe at what my children were doing. And I'm telling you, you got to stop, or you're going to discipline in the wrong manner. You're going to have to get your own emotions and stuff under control before you can administer discipline to a kid and do it with respect. So the child will respect you and continue to obey and respect and love and honor you. We have to act in love. I tell you, that is very vital to a child's concept of love. You know, who's ever had your parents say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? For a long time, I couldn't figure that out. I said, there ain't no way. But my dad, when he would discipline us, even give us a whipping, you know, he would sit down and talk to us. He wouldn't just do it and walk off. But he would explain to you why you were disciplined and why that he demanded respect.